I'm grateful to be in the house of God. Now, I have a lot to share in the next few minutes, so there won't be time for questions and answers. But I'm going to ask that you would listen with your hearts, listen quickly, and don't miss anything. I have notes here, but those are for me, not for God. God has his own speaking direction. I take you to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, say anyone, would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And follow me. I also take you to a verse that is probably central to what we believe and what we live. John 3:16. For God, somebody say for God, so loved the world that he gave his only one son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. God, it is so important that I get out of the way. More of you, less of me this evening. Speak to our hearts, O God, that which is so important to you. Your word is blessed already. We don't ask blessing for your word. Your word is blessed. And it's promised that, Lord, it would not return void. And it would fulfill its purpose in the hearts of men and women this evening. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say. Amen. And all God's people say.
Amen.
Final words. I want to entitle this, Mission Accomplished. Mission Accomplished. I have a second title, if it fits on the CD. So, you want to follow Jesus. So, you want to follow Jesus. Introduction, final words could very well be a summation of what was most important in someone's life. You know, expressed before they pass away, those final words. So important to hear them. A man was driving a mountainous winding road, lost control of his car, jumped out just before his car went over the cliff. When police arrived, they found the man looking over the cliff, looking at his car engulfed in flames, and the police could hear him exclaim, oh no, my BMW, not my BMW. The police, taken aback by his complaint, noticed and mentioned him, sir, you've lost your arm. To which the man exclaimed, oh no, my Rolex, not my Rolex. Not his final words, but you know what was important. You get it. So that's what was important for him. Some final words. Bob Marley, musicians, his final words. Money can't buy life. Augustus Caesar, first Roman Empire, final words. Have I played the part well? Then applaud me as I exit. Joe DiMaggio, baseball player. Don't even try to guess what his final words were. He says, I finally get to see Maryland. Ludwig van Beethoven, composer and pianist, who was deaf. Final words, I will hear again in heaven. Nostradamus, last prediction was, at sunrise, I shall be no longer here. It came true, by the way. Bessie Smith, blues singer. I'm going, but I'm going in the name of the Lord. Jesus' seven final sayings from the cross, or as we have commonly called them, his seven words. You know, they may also describe our journey. They may describe our journey. Today, Good Friday, we are once again invited to meditate on these words. First word is called a word of forgiveness. A word of forgiveness found in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I emphasize the word them. Them who? Them. The soldiers who mocked, scourged, and tortured him, nailed him to the cross between two criminals. To these soldiers, Jesus was just another criminal. They were just doing as they were commanded, faithful to the empire. Them, who is them? Caiaphas and the high priest and the Sanhedrin, there to check things out, make sure that everything went as planned. Pilate, probably still washing his hands of everything. His apostles, minus one. No apostles there, minus one. And companions gone. Now, they may have been disciples, but not of the 12 disciples. Disciples anywhere were who followed Christ. So there were followers of Christ there. But of the 12, just one was there. Peter, who was feeling remorseful over denying him three times. Maybe he's one of them that Jesus says, forgive them. Them who, a faithless, fickle crowd, one day celebrating his entrance and the next day demanding his crucifixion. Them, who else? You and me. You and me. In excruciating pain, the agape love prevails. And oh, what love Jesus displays. Oh, what love he displays. He asked the Father to forgive them. Because he knew the Father could make things right. He knew the Father could wipe the slate clean. But he says, Father, don't forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To the very end, Jesus preaches forgiveness. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. So you want to follow Jesus. Leads to a second word. This is called a word of salvation, found in Luke 23:43, when from the cross Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He says to this criminal on his right hand side, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Wait a minute. The one crucified on his right, he's not mocking Jesus. Not anymore anyway. Could be that in the busyness of the crucifixion, he didn't realize who was in the middle of them. Maybe he was so busy in the pain and the agony, he didn't realize who was being crucified right next to him. And all of a sudden it dawns on him. To the criminal on the other side of Jesus, he says, hey, listen, we deserve this. We deserve being here. The Torah's commentary, which will be out pretty soon. The Torah's commentary says, maybe he's thinking, I know a wrong verdict when I see one. To which he says, this man has done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Continues the commentary. He may be thinking, if these are going to be my final words for once in my life, I'm going to make my final words count. So he says, he humbly requests, Jesus, remember me when you come into that kingdom that you're going to. Remember me. He humbly, finally, after a life of crime, after a life of disobedience, it takes the cross experience to get this man saved. The cross experience, with their physical lives slipping away, not much time for a water baptism, not much time for a holy communion. This man confessed that he was a sinner, believed in Jesus, that he was the Lord, and this man became an ex-con, saved and bound for glory. Wait a minute. I've been there. Pastor, I think we've been there. Angel, Pastor, I think we've been there. Wait a minute. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, woo, glory, rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. We've been there, haven't we? Some of us, maybe all of us today, we've been there at that same cross. where that criminal found Christ, where all of us found Christ, that cross experience. Hallelujah. We see another word, a word of relationship. John 19, verse 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Why the word, the addressing, "Dear woman"? Why "dear woman"? Some say that to call her mother at that moment would only have deepened already a grieving heart. That for the moment, that heart of that mother was not thinking of herself, but thinking of a broken body of her son. And her son knew this. Her son looked real deep in her heart. She said, "I'm going to call a woman because that's my mom. She's going through enough for me to call her mother again." Ah, the worth of relationship. Isn't relationship worth it with Jesus? Isn't a relationship with God worth it? Disrespect? Surely not. It wasn't disrespect. Jesus is, the Son is thinking of her, is thinking of her future care as he is thinking of us. He is on the cross thinking of us, thinking of our future care, thinking of the widows, of the orphans, and many of us who are lost, were lost. Joseph would have taken care of, but many commentaries already has established that Joseph, that Mary was a widow. He was, otherwise he would have been there. He would have said, "Jesus, don't worry, I got her." But she was a widow at that time. Jesus looks at his mother and says, knowing that he would be leaving his own body for a while, he speaks to her, securing her safe care by saying, "Woman, here is your son. No need to fret. No need to worry." Jesus also looks at the one of the 12 that were there and says, "Brother, friend, beloved, here is your mother." You see, John was a good, compassionate, and understanding. He understood what it meant for a widow not to have someone to care for her. And oh, what relationship with Jesus. Jesus cares. Jesus cares about us, even from a cross, even in pain and agony and anguish. He cared for a mother, and he cared for a widow. He cared for an orphan. He cared for a con man. He cared for a thief. He cared for you and me. No discussion here, just a clear understanding from John what he had to do. John, I'm sure, was honored with such a trust to think, "Jesus, you trust me with your mom? I'm honored." And he takes her home. The worth of a relationship. 4. There's a word of abandonment then, found in Matthew 27, 46. When in part Aramaic, in part Greek, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" By this time, even the light of day had abandoned the earth. It says it was dark for 3 hours straight. Even the light didn't want to have part in this. Oh my God. Jesus, truly human, felt forsaken. The anguish, the cry of pain leading to a sense of abandonment. It was real, young people. It was real. Jesus, as we may feel in some dark moments in our own life, truly, Jesus did stand in line with all of us. He knows what darkness is, Sister Gloria. He knows what darkness is, Pastor Joel. He stood in line with us because he knew one day we would be standing in darkness, needing the light of his glory. He knew we would be standing in darkness, leading the light of his way. Hallelujah to God, hallelujah to God. But something in the middle of that, something unexpected happened. Not even the powers and principalities of earth expected it. Caiaphas and the high priest who were just looking up, ready to see this guy go. They began to get uncomfortable because you know what Jesus quoted? Jesus quoted Psalm 22. Psalm 22, if you take time to read, is a prophetic psalm. It has a prophetic nature. It prophesies the crucifixion. And he says, guys, why is he quoting Psalm 22? Maybe, just maybe, all of a sudden the fog of their jealousy, the fog of their misplaced zeal was being lifted. And all of a sudden they revealed in front of them, they saw who really this man was. And they realized, guys, we have it wrong. We got this wrong. Was this Jesus' way of saying, hey guys, it's me. It's me here. The one David wrote about hundreds of years ago. The horror and the raging sin of humanity, where evil seemed to triumph. It seemed to triumph. And maybe hell was about to party. But that triumph was short-lived. It was short-lived. All just for a moment. Still Jesus, with all of this, still Jesus would not descend from the cross. See, the songwriter got it right. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and you and you and you and me. That was Jesus. So you want to follow Jesus? So you want to follow Jesus? Following the word of abandonment came a word of distress. Usually distress follows abandonment. It happens. Already his body in shock when he says in John 19:28, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. His body in shock, the wounds of a scourge, the verbal abuse, the total of his suffering had been taking their toll. The body experiencing dehydration, thirst. But one wonders, and go with me on this. One wonders how far this thirst went. You know, you do remember, and you do know that he offered a water that would quench thirst forever. You do remember that. He offered someone, a woman, thirst, a water that would quench thirst forever. So his thirst may have been perhaps the yearning desire for the salvation of his people. A yearning desire for the human race to be saved. Maybe that is what he was thirsting for. Maybe that would quench his thirst. To see humanity follow Jesus. King David had thirst. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you. Oh God, my soul thirsts for God, for living God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How many say amen?
Amen.
So you want to follow Jesus? Sixth word. A word after distress, after agony, a word of triumph. How many are ready for a word of triumph? Maybe you just went through some agony. Maybe you've been through some distress. Maybe you have been through some abandonment in your life where you feel all by your own self. But here comes a word of triumph. Three words. In John 19:30 it says, it is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Greek. The Greek, they used to show off that they can say a lot of words just in one. These are three words in one. Tetelestai. That was the Greek way of saying it's accomplished. It's complete. Listen well, church. Listen to this. Jesus did not say, I am finished. Brother Seth, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, it is finished. How many praise the Lord? Jesus affirms. He affirms that the task is complete. Mission accomplished. It gets better. It gets better. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. We're going home. The grammatical form of tetelestial. The grammatical form is used not only did it of an event that happened, but it's still happening. Not something that's just as happening now, Pastor Joel, but something that is still happening. Hallelujah. Past, present, future. I am the, Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He breaks the barrier of time. What I did for you yesterday, I'll do for you again. What I did for Pastor, I will do for you. What I did for him, I'll do for you. I did it yesterday, I'll do it today. And if you have tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, bless Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the dismay and the defeat of the forces of enemy, he left no unfinished business. No unfinished business. Check this list out, church. The power of sin, finished. No more condemnation. The curse of the law, finished. This old man, this power of the flesh, this world over us, finished. Done with. The power of the forces of evil over us, finished. The power of Satan and death over us is finished. Hallelujah. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. It's done. It's through. It's destroyed. It's terminated. And as a good friend of mine would say, finito. Man, I practiced that one, Pastor. Finito. Third language. It's over. It's over. The work of redemption is completed. Mission accomplished. Hallelujah. I am saved. God, I thank you. I'm not finished yet, Lord, but I need to stop here and give you a word of gratitude. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody thank the Lord. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the cross. Come on. Somebody thank him for the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't come down from the cross, that you had my name on your mind, that you had my name on your mind, oh, Jesus. Oh, Rabbi Shalom. Hallelujah. Finally, a word of reunion. Number 7. Luke 23:46 says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Remember his words in John when Jesus says, no one takes my life. No one takes me. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Of my own accord. He gave this word out loud. Notice that if you read Luke 23:46, he cried out loud. He cried, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, the Father would have heard it if he just would have sought it. Then why cry out? He's exclaiming something so that the world would hear it. So that the world would know that I am done here. That you can take my body, if you will, but my spirit, I'm going home. I am going home. Oh, by the way, I'm taking this guy with me. The guy on the right. Dropping him off. And I'll be back. A little Torah's commentary there, Pastor Seth. Bear with me. Someday, we will also have a reunion with the Father. A passing over, if you will. Death, just Uber, taking us to the Father. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Romans 14:8, Paul writes, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. 7 words best describing our Jesus and his journey here on earth. And I pray tonight that they may serve us as a lamp to our feet and as a light to our pathway and the journey from here to glory. May God add blessing to his word. Amen. Hallelujah.